Thank you much, and welcome back. It's a Monday, but it's time to figure out why things did what they did today and where we're headed in the future. Once a week, we get to visit with Mike Krueger, thanks to the good folks at Richland IFC, talking food-grade soybeans. And Mike Krueger joins us today, and I'm very grateful for our chance to chat about the markets, Mike.
Those are both difficult questions, by the way. My crystal ball is getting foggier as the days go on, but there were a few things that went on. It was actually a quiet day. Financial markets are quiet. Grain markets are quiet. Wheat was kind of the star today. I think mostly on a couple of things. One, there was some rumors circulating that maybe Iraq had bought U.S. wheat, and they haven't done that for a while. There was also chatter that Egypt was maybe back in the market, and of course, Russia has fulfilled their needs for several years now. Once upon a time, Egypt bought a lot of wheat from the U.S., but not since Russia went from an importer to an exporter. But the other thing, and I don't know if this is in the market, over the weekend, a friend of mine who actually was an exchange farmer up right up here in North Dakota a long time ago, he's a big operator in West Australia, out south, a little bit west of the Perth area. And he sent me a note over the weekend saying, you know, I see a comment, and we've talked about it here, about how wet it is during the Australian wheat harvest, which is going full blast now. Mm-hmm. And he said it's way worse than he thought. And so put it in perspective, he farms roughly 40,000 acres total. They're big, big operations in parts of West Australia. But anyway, he said that the eastern side, as we've known, has been the worst, but he thinks maybe as much as 75% of the Australian wheat crop, which is probably going to be a record, has been impacted by too much rain. I think we mentioned late last week that Australia had been selling some feed wheat to South Korea. So I don't know if that crept a little bit into the marketplace or not, that jacked wheat up today. Spring wheat, you know, closed 17 cents higher. So that was a good day. And I think that the negative part of beans, according to some people, was that Xi from China and President Biden met really briefly, and some people thought maybe there'd be some comments about trade and positive soybean imports, but I think that was an unexpected expectation in a 3-hour meeting for people who haven't, you know, he has never met face to face with him since he's president. So anyway, quiet day. So we traded back and forth, and that's how we ended. Higher wheat, little bit lower on corn, and 8-10 lower on beans.
And short meetings usually have bad outcomes. Like, you know, you're fired or something like that. Yeah, right. And apparently this was kind of a cold shoulder because the president said this, this Taiwan issue and human rights issue, we don't like it. And Xi said, well, this is a red line issue. That was his exact words. It's a red line item for us. And so,
yeah, I don't know how you could expect anything other than a cold shoulder meeting with what's gone on over the last, 2, 3, 4 years. The one interesting thing that someone picked up on one of these financial networks today was that the only thing positive to come out of that meeting, they thought, was the fact that Xi was not wearing a mask, which apparently is the first time he's been seen publicly without a mask. And maybe that means that China is on a path to stop or slow down or end some of these, you know, COVID lockdowns that have affected their economy and some people think have threatened the demand for soybeans.
Well, and obviously, whether, you know, the meeting was friendly or not, they are going to have to feed their people. They've got pork to buy, beef to buy, but mostly pork, and they got to feed their hog herd. And I guess, of course, the buzz is now South America, Brazil especially, going to have a great crop, or what are you hearing?
Well, of course, every analyst out there, including the USDA last week, continues to forecast that Brazil is going to have a record crop. Last year, their crop was just 122 million tons or so, which was a disaster. This year, even though the crop's only probably 50% planted and barely getting planted in Argentina, they're talking about 150-plus a record crop. So, I always find that interesting that, you know, back in the old days, we used to kind of take average yields or maybe slightly lower than trend line, be a little cautious, but not anymore. Everybody's all in on record yields, and they are planting more acres. So certainly if they do have big yields, they could produce a record crop. I think there's only been a few analysts around saying, hey, just hang on a minute. You know, it's a La Nina year that'll probably stay that way into Jan, Feb, and doesn't mean they'll have some bad production, but that was a big factor in last year's crop.
Now, back to Australia. How big, if 75% of Australia's wheat crop, let's see, it's U.S. number one, Canada number two, Australia's up there fourth, aren't they, in world wheat production?
Yeah, they're right in that neighborhood, depending on the year. So their crop is supposed to be 34 million tons. Of course, the rest of the world talks in terms of million tons. The thing is that, of course, West Australia, which produces about 40% of that crop, there's no people out there.
Yeah.
And really not many animals. So that's where the big export focus is from, you know, out of the western side. And if they're having issues, and I don't know how bad they are, but remember, it doesn't take much when you've got mature wheat standing. They don't swamp anything because typically they are so dry at harvest that their big risk over there is fire, because they'll combine every day for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden they've been in a pattern where it just continues to rain, and that can be a problem. And you know, the backside as well, then maybe they take some of the demand for corn away if they have to ship feed wheat. But it's like we've been saying for a while, I think that all of a sudden somebody in the world's going to have to come to the U.S. for wheat, and we don't have a whole lot of stocks left. And that's when, if it happens, things will get interesting. It's tough to sell wheat when Australia's dollar, I just looked today, is trading at 65, 66 cents, and the Australian dollar is 75 cents. Also, a lot of chatter recently that Canada has been a pretty good seller of spring wheat and barley to China. So China's doing some business. They just aren't doing it with us.
Well, and we've got 14, closing on $15 soybeans, almost $7 corn, and the price of wheat is mighty fine for the guys who have a bin or two full of it. And
you know, the other thing with corn and beans particularly is I looked at a chart today of basis levels from like six different states for corn and beans. I mean, corn and soybean basis and all these local spots like here are like 40 cents to 60 cents higher on corn than normal for this time of year, and almost a buck higher on beans. Strong domestic demand for corn and beans, and I think wheat also, and just not a whole lot of farmers selling yet.
So what does, again, here's the other side of your crystal ball, or maybe a different crystal ball. What is a good marketing strategy moving into the winter now?
Well, I'm still of the mind that this market's going to give us another pop along the way. I think producers generally had 50 to 60% or so priced in one way or another. If producers think they've got too much inventory on hand or a little nervous about the geopolitics and that kind of stuff, you can always either buy puts or get rid of the cash with these super strong basis levels and buy calls back. As we mentioned a while ago, volatile markets mean high premiums, but we're also talking, as you mentioned, $14, $15 beans, $6.50 to $7 corn, and near $10 wheat futures. So those are the choices. I mean, take advantage of this super strong basis, particularly on corn and soybeans, and move it and replace that with call options if you want to limit your risk.
Okay, good advice. Thank you much, Mike. And, of course, talking about strong soybean prices, food-grade soybeans are looking better than ever for next year as the price of beans go up. Let's talk about the benefits of Richland IFC.
Well, they're contracting again, and they're going to increase acres of food-grade soybeans. Premiums this year are up a buck or so, a bushel, over a year ago's premiums because the demand is there and they want more acres. And so those premiums this year range from $4 to, as much as $6 over November futures next November. Those futures are trading at right around $14. So a farmer today, a producer, can lock up some contracted acres of food-grade soybeans for from 17 to 20 bucks a bushel. And again, those are production contracts. So if you have problems with drought or hail or whatever else, it doesn't matter. If you contract 100 acres or 1,000 acres of food-grade soybeans with Richland, you're obligated to deliver what you produce, which is, I think, another important factor. So if you're concerned about what may go on with prices in the next 8 or 10 or 12 months, and if you want to lock up 17 to 20 bucks a bushel on food grade beans, I think Richland IFC offers some great contracting opportunities.
Well, I don't own any farmland, and I don't farm. I just talk about farming. But if you gave us some options, 100 or 1,000, I'd put 1,000 acres on food-grade soybeans at 30 to 50 bushel per acre at 17, 20. That, the math certainly works in the farmer's favor for the first time in a long time.
It's they're big numbers, they really are, especially when you consider it also has the giant act of God clause, because they're based on what you produce. They're contracting acres, not bushels. And Jake can get into all the details, the agronomic issues, the different types of food-grade soybean contracts they offer. And his number is 218-643-1797.
That's all there is to it. Give Jake a call. All righty. Mike,
that's exactly right.
Okay, 30 seconds for last thoughts on what do you expect ahead of Thanksgiving in the grain markets?
Well, I think it's going to be relatively quiet back and forth trade. I think, as we've been saying, the one thing that's lacking to really push our markets higher is a sustained increase in export sales for corn, soybeans, and wheat. I think we'll see it for corn and soybeans. Wheat is going to take a little bit longer just because that's the one most affected by the strong dollar.
Gotcha. All right, Mike Krueger. Again, once a week or so, we get a chance to visit with Mike. Compliments of thanks to Richland IFC. It's a symbiotic relationship, and I sure appreciate it. Mike, thank you very much.
Absolutely, Nick.
And we'll talk to you before Thanksgiving. So,
perfect. I'll be here.
Okay. Talk to you then. All right, it's coming up on break time, and coming up next, a report from the North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner meeting with ag groups in the state. That's coming up next here on Farm Talk.